This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Wa ma ba'du. Now, brothers and sisters, imagine the times of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, where he preached Islam. It was a time of huge change. Right, massive change. If you look at it, it was somebody who was preaching a doctrine which ran contrary to what the Arabs had believed in and what they used to do as far as their belief and worship is concerned for centuries, right, as long as they could remember. And what's more, and this was really, if you look at it, that was the, in my view, that was a real reason for the opposition to him, was not really so much because of the theological angle, the theological difference of worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because people who worship many gods, they can add and subtract quite easily. I mean, they are okay with that. It's the monotheistic people, the people who worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have problems with adding on anyone else to his worship. And this is, alhamdulillah, this is how it should be. But people who worship many gods, for them to add on something is not a difficult thing. So it was not, it was really not so much that. I mean, I'm not saying it is not at all, but definitely that was not the main reason. The main reason was that Rasulullah ﷺ represented for them a complete upheaval in their social order. They had a system which was run by these billionaires, right? The oligarchs. In today's world, if they are Russian, we call them oligarchs. If they are American, we call them billionaires. So they had a system, a government which ran, and the people who ran it were these oligarchs. These businessmen, these billionaires, who met whenever they felt the need to meet in a place called a Nadwa, which was their gathering house, and they decided whatever they decided. Now, they were supreme, their word was law, they were above the law themselves, they could quite literally do whatever they wanted. For example, Abu Jahl murdered in broad daylight before probably hundreds of witnesses. Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha and her husband Yasir radiallahu anhu, and there was nothing to pay. I mean, nobody criticized him, nobody said anything. You had Umayya bin Khalaf, who used to torture Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, every day he used to beat him and torture him for no reason. And nobody said anything. The poor and slaves and so on had absolutely zero rights. The wealthy people could do whatever they wanted with them, and they had every luxury that money could buy. Everything was legal for them. As far as they were concerned, there was no one who could tell them something is illegal or they should not do it. So this was the kind of situation they were in, and they loved it. They were very happy with it. Now comes this person. And from their point of view, to make matters worse, he's one of them. And on top of being one of them, he's also one of the privileged class. So ideally, according to them, he should have been enjoying these things himself. Right? He should have had slaves, he should have beat up people, he should have done what, got drunk or whatever. He should have been enjoying these things. And obviously, you enjoy something, you support it. So this is what he should have been doing. Instead of that, he is criticizing these things. He's talking about social justice. He's talking about anti-racism. He's talking about women's rights. He's talking about, he's speaking against alcohol. He's speaking against oppression of the weak and so on. So obviously this was not acceptable to them. This was something which was, very bad. And so they said maybe he's gone mad, maybe his jinn affected him, or something is wrong with his mind, which is why he's saying like this, because to them, it appeared to be something which was completely illogical. It's how can somebody in that position? It can, you know, their point of view was, if he was somebody who was not entitled to this in the system, and he was, you know, criticizing it, then one could say, well, you know, he wants it, so he is, you know, he's fighting because he's not getting it. But in this case, it was somebody, it was his for the taking. I mean, he was from the premier family. There was no one to stop him if he wanted to behave like Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab or anybody. But he did not behave like that. On the contrary, he took up the cudgels and he took up the issues of the weak and of course that meant the women and the slaves and so on and so forth. He talked about charity. He talked about you know, this mindless pursuit of profit. He said this is a bad thing, and he's talking about the hereafter, which according to these people were, you know, this is a illogical thing. I mean, how is what's hereafter? I mean, we don't see it, so how can it be real? Now, this was their problem, and so there was huge upheaval. Now, again, Makkah was literally the center of the world for them because of the Kaaba, and people used to come from all over Arabia for pilgrimage and for trade, and Makkah became a trade center between Sham in the north and Yemen in the south. These caravans which went north and south, they would stop in Makkah, so Makkah became a trade center. So it was a very happening place, and there were lots of people from all over who came to Makkah, and these ideas, they were spreading all over the place. So the Quraysh especially were very perturbed, and they were very disturbed that this was happening. Now, in this context, a man called Bimad al-Asji from Asjauna in southern Arabia, he came to Makkah, and he heard people who were saying that we have a man among us who is affected by jinn. So this man, Bimad al-Asji, was a nice man. He was a, you know, very kind-hearted man, and he knew something about exorcism and so on. So he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked them, who is this person? They showed him. So he said he went to him. And his intention was good. I mean, he didn't go with a bad intention. So he had never met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't know anything about him. So he went to him and he said, look, I know how to exorcise a jinn. So, you know, if somebody is possessed, I know what to do. So would you like me to cure you? Right? Would you like me to take out your jinn? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam simply said to him the khutbah masnuna, which is the khutbah that we usually do in Jummah. He said, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So he just said this to him, and the man was struck. He said, oh Muhammad, he said, stop. He said, can you repeat this? Can you repeat the words to me? So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم repeated the words to him, and then the man said, by Allah, these words will reach the depth of the ocean. So Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, if you really believe that, then accept Islam. And the man extended his hand. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. He accepted Islam, just like that. Right? And then Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, take a pledge for your people. Right? Accept Islam on behalf of your people. So when you go back, they will all become Muslim. And Bimad said, I pledge for my people. That's an amazing story if you think about this, of a man who got Hidayah in one single meeting for a few minutes. That's it. And it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides all those who are sincere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guide us. So guidance is never denied. If somebody is not guided, then they must ask themselves, what is it that I am doing to shut out guidance? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Nabi so that people are guided and so that people will be saved from Jahannam and they will go to Jannah. If that was not the purpose, then there was no need to send the Nabi. But Allah sent the Nabi because He wants this to happen. Many years later, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the armies of the Muslims, they were traveling and they passed by the village of Bimad. And as they passed by, the commander, he stopped and he asked his soldiers, he said, "Did anyone take anything from these people?" And one soldier says, "Yes, I took one camel from them." The commander said, "Give it back. Because these are the people of Bimad, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them protection." Amr ibn al-Abusa, radiallahu anhu, he said, "In the time of Jahiliyyah, I had belief in my heart that the religion of my people is false and that worshipping idols is wrong." Now you see these kind of people, you see them to this day. There are people who are not Muslim, who are following, you can't even say they are following because they are not following, but they are from some other religion which worships idols and they know it is wrong. So they don't follow their religion, they don't worship, they don't go to their places of worship, temples and churches and whatnot. But they have also not entered Islam. So they are there in this space between between right and wrong. So Amr bin Absa, radiallahu anhu, he said, "One day I heard that there was a man preaching a new religion. So I went to meet him secretly and I asked him, 'What are you?' He said, 'I am a prophet.' He said, 'What does that mean?" So Amr said, "What does that mean?" So he said, the man said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the man said, "I was sent by Allah." So Amr said, "What did he send you with?" He said, "What did he send you with?" And he said, the man said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "He sent me with a message of worshipping Him alone, associating no gods with Him, and not to worship idols, to destroy the idols." So Amr said, "Can I follow you?" And he said, the man said, he said, "You cannot follow me now, but when you hear that I have prevailed, then you can come and join me." Amr said that, "I used to constantly ask about him and his condition. I used to always ask people, where is this person and how is the situation now? One day I heard that he had migrated to Medina and was victorious. So I went to meet him. I asked him, I said, 'Do you remember me?' And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, 'Yes, you came to meet me in Makkah.' He said, 'Ya Rasulullah, teach me about that which you know from Allah, and teach me about Salah and Wudu.' And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him." There are so many beautiful stories like this which are, may Allah make us among those who respond to the truth the way the Sahaba responded to the truth, subhanAllah. Another one of these famous stories is that of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, radiallahu anhu, says that my brother and I and my mother left the land of Ghifar. Now see, these are people who have not come to Islam yet. I mean, they are still on whatever religion they had. But the heart tells them that what they are worshipping, what they are doing is not correct. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said that my brother and I and my mother left the land of Ghifar because our people were disrespectful of the Ashhurul Hurum, the sacred months. The Ghifar were bandits, they were highway robbers, and they raided caravans. And raiding alone in Arabia, 7th century Arabia, was not considered to be a bad thing. People, tribes raided one another, and it was considered legal, and whatever booty they got from the raids was considered legal. So people did that all the time. Now these people, the Ghifar, raided caravans. But Abu Dharr Ghifari's point of view was that they should have stopped that during the holy months. Now, he said they didn't do that. So these people, they left the Wefaq. He said we stayed with an uncle who was very generous to us. Then he said, while we were staying with him, some people who were jealous of us told the uncle that Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu's brother Unnais was interested in his wife, in the wife of the uncle. So the uncle mentioned this to Abu Dharr and his mother. Now, Abu Dharr was infuriated, he got very angry. And he said, this accusation has cancelled all your hospitality, and they left. Then they settled near Makkah. Now one day, Unnais went to Makkah to do some business, and he met Rasulullah. He returned and told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu about it. He said, there is a man preaching a new religion. And he told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu what Rasulullah had said to him about the new religion. Now Abu Dharr Ghifari said that I have already been worshipping Allah for 3 years. He said, I used to pray in whichever direction Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would point me to, and in whatever way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would guide me to. And I would pray all night, and then I would fall asleep and wake only when the sun woke me up. Now you see these people, how sincere they were in wanting to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in wanting to in their own spiritual welfare. They were so interested. I mean, imagine just worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night. And this is not something he did on just one night. This was his custom. And he would say, I would wake up when the sun would wake me up. Now, Unnais told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu that the people were accusing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of being a sorcerer and so on. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, you have not satisfied my curiosity. I must go and see for myself. So he went to Makkah, and the first man he saw, he said, can you guide me to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Unfortunately, that man was not a Muslim. And so he started shouting, he called people, he said, look, see, this man is wanting to meet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they started throwing stones at Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and they started beating him. And he says, until I fell unconscious. He said, then they left him there. He said, when I woke up, I went to Zamzam, I drank some water and washed myself. And he said, then I went to the Kaaba and I stayed there for 30 days. He just stayed by the Kaaba for 1 month. He said, I ate nothing, I only drank Zamzam. He said, not only did I not feel hungry, but I actually started gaining weight. He said, then I saw two women making tawaf, and on each turn they used to touch two idols, one called Isaf and the other one called Naila, two of the idols in the Kaaba. So Abu Dharr, Abu Dharr was a man like that. He was, for one thing, he was a man who had no fear. Secondly, he was very direct, and he was not very polite. So he said what he wanted to say. So he made some nasty comment about that. And the women, they heard when he said first, what he had to say. The women didn't hear him. The second time he said, I said something even worse, more nasty. And the women heard him and they started screaming and they ran away. Now as they ran away, they met Rasulullah ﷺ and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah ﷺ asked them, what was the matter? Why are they running and screaming? And they said that there is a heretic over there, and he said something very bad. Rasulullah ﷺ came to Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and he asked him, he said, where are you from? Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, I am from Ghifar. Now Rasulullah ﷺ, he put his hand on his forehead like this. When Abu Dharr Ghifari said, I am from Ghifar, Nabi ﷺ put his hand on his forehead. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, I thought he did not like what I said. So he said, I put my hand forward to take his hand away from his forehead. But Abu Bakr slapped my hand down and said, put your hand down. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand on his forehead like that, like we say, face palm, in astonishment, because here was a man from the bandits of Ghifar in search of the truth, whereas the Quraysh of Makkah, who were supposed to be the guardians of the Kaaba and whatnot, and they were the religious leaders of the Arabs, they were worshipping idols. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, SubhanAllah, see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides who he, whoever has sincerity and who he wants to guide. So then Abu Dharr Ghifari said, then radiallahu anhu, he said, I accepted Islam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to keep his iman secret. He said, do not announce it. But Abu Dharr, this was not his nature. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu went out the next day and he announced his iman in public. Again the same thing happened. People gathered, they started beating him until he was unconscious. But mercifully for him, they would have killed him. But mercifully for him, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, who came. He rushed to his rescue and he said to the people, do you know? He said, do you know who this man is? Do you know where he's from? He said, he's from the Ghifar. Now, as soon as the people heard this, they ran away because they feared the Ghifar. And if Abu Dharr had been killed, radiallahu anhu, they were afraid that the Ghifar would not allow a single caravan from Makkah to pass by them. Now, this thing happened again. Next day, the same thing happened. The third day, the same thing happened. Three times. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Dharr Ghifari, he said, go back to your people. And when you hear that I have prevailed, then you come and meet me. So then you come and meet me. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, I went back to my people and he started preaching Islam. By the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, half his tribe, Al-Ghifar, were Muslim. And the others, they said, when we go to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will also accept Islam. So one day, the Sahaba saw a big cloud of dust approaching Medina and they rushed for their weapons, thinking that it may be an army coming to attack Medina. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't worry, that is Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. And that was true. So the whole tribe of Ghifar came and they accepted Islam. There was another tribe at the time who were the rivals of the Ghifar, also a tribe of bandits and highway robbers. They were called Aslam. When they heard that Ghifar had accepted Islam, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, if Ghifar have accepted Islam, we also want to accept Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive Ghifar and give peace to Aslam. Ghaffara, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ghaffara Allahu Ghifar and Sallam Allahu Aslam. Now think about this. The big lesson that we have here is that when you make effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only grants success, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants success with barakah. So the result of the effort is not in proportion to the effort, but it is much more than the effort. The work of one man resulted in two major tribes accepting Islam. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu had spent only a few days in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he was sent back to his tribe. Yet his preaching was so powerful that his whole tribe accepted Islam. And then thanks to that, another tribe of Al-Aslam, they also accepted Islam. So whoever searches for guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to him as long as the person is sincere. This is a very important thing to keep in mind. Sometimes people say, oh, but you know, what can so-and-so do? They did not have guidance. No. If they didn't have guidance, it means that they didn't want guidance. They got guidance and they rejected guidance. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not... If Allah didn't want to guide people, He would not have sent the Nabi alayhi salam. He wouldn't have sent His books. He wouldn't have sent any of the Nabi alayhi salam. Because people were living their lives in whichever way they considered to be right. And things were going on. So Allah did not need to send guidance and to send his Anbiya and to send his books and so on and so forth, if it was not his intention to guide people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the best for his people. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Anbiya alayhi salam. He sent his books. The last of them is Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and the last of the Anbiya alayhi salam and the Rasul is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after whom there is no Rasul and after whom there is no Nabi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always guides. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if you hear one ayah from me, teach it to others. Balligu anni walau ayah aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. So teaching and learning is an ongoing process. We as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been given this responsibility of carrying forward the work of our Nabi alayhi salam. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu was not afraid of people, and he was confident enough about his deen and willing to pay the price of communicating it to others. It's a strange and tragic paradox that the only beneficial thing that you get punished for, instead of being rewarded and thanked for, is Islam. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu went to verify the truth himself. So it's very important for us to ensure that we have the right knowledge. You cannot benefit from wrong information. So many times there are people who pretend to have knowledge and so on. It's very important to ensure that you get the right knowledge. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu went himself to verify the truth. He didn't just follow whatever people were saying. He went to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to check for himself. When he was satisfied, he then followed it completely and not partially. So this is the second trap and the second problem that we have, is that we follow of Islam what we like to follow. We don't follow it completely. But Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu didn't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan. Oh, you who believe, enter into Islam completely. And that is what Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba did. They entered fully and completely and not partially. And they did not do that gradually over time. They just, whatever Allah ordered, they started following it from that moment onwards without any argument. This was the secret of success, and this is the reason why they were so hugely, hugely productive and powerful and influential. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't just follow people, use your intelligence. He said, don't belittle anything good, no matter how insignificant. You throw the seed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it grow. There are many such stories about the Sahaba which show us a generation that was unique. People who had been steeped in idolatry and all kinds of evil, all kinds of social evils and all kinds of inequities, who literally turned into the most pious and beautiful people the world has ever seen overnight. Just like that, right? It was the strength of their belief and the honesty with which they acted on it which was the cause. Right? There was no, with the Sahaba, there was no hypocrisy, there was no, dilly-dallying, and there was no, should I, shouldn't I, and they did not allow their nafs, they didn't allow their desires to come in the way of guidance. This was a huge, 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 benefit, this is the big secret of the success of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, which I remind myself and you about, which is something that we need to think about and say that what is it that made them so successful, this generation, where literally they sort of, they flipped and they went from being people who were most definitely not worthy of emulation, and people who were, onto all kinds of evil stuff, they became the best of people. So, and this is something that we need to ask ourselves also, because that is our this is our problem today. Our problem today is the minimalist thinking that we have with respect to Islam. We try to do the bare minimum. I'm not talking about those who don't do anything at all. I mean, that is, may Allah have mercy on us. We also have those people who do nothing at all. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those people who, alhamdulillah, they are good people. They want to do something good with themselves and with their lives. But those people also, they try to take it piecemeal, right? They don't want to take the whole religion completely as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to us. And that's why, like anything which is done piecemeal, it doesn't benefit us. Now this is something to think about, because you know, we claim to be Muslims, and yet the benefits that Islam is supposed to give us don't seem to be in our lives. So you might ask yourself, what is the point of being Muslim? Because even after I'm Muslim, I'm still not getting the barakah that Allah promised me. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a Muslim and a true believer raises his hands and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes dua, Allah will accept his dua before his hands come down. Now, is it happening to us? Now, think about that. Is this happening to us? It's not happening to us. We are people who... and the reason why it doesn't happen to us is because we seem to be we seem to take things partly. So it never gets to the point where the balance tips. Our balance never tips, because we don't put in enough effort into enough load into the pan for it to tip the balance. And that is the big takeaway from this story of Bimad al-Azdi and Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari and radiallahu anhu, that let us follow completely. Alhamdulillah, we said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Let us follow that completely, not in bits and pieces. If we take something, we leave something. This is not something for us to do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to what pleases Him and to save us from what doesn't please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rabbal alamin.